Good morning, this is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is a useful shorthand to read Gentiles for non-Christians in many places in the Bible. Today's scripture is one of them. There are a lot more details to clarify, of course, but as long as Israel remains a political concern, we can be sure that the terminology of Jew and Gentile and Israel and church and unbeliever are going to need to be disambiguated more than glossed over or used haphazardly. But as a rule of thumb, it serves profitably as an entrance into understanding the Bible now, between Christ's coming to save us and his return to judge the world. That Gentiles means unbelievers. Israel are those who know and trust in Christ, whether here as Christians or in the past as those of his people, Israel. Even though the command is to preach the gospel to all Gentiles, all nations, grafting them in, Jews and non-Jews alike are become Gentiles, as it were, in need of enlightenment if they do not know Christ. And Jesus himself says, if a sinner will neither hear the brother, nor two or three witnesses, nor the whole church herself with repentance, well, then that person should be treated as you would treat a tax collector or a Gentile. And likewise, when teaching us to press all of our anxieties into prayer, Christ says that the Gentiles are the ones who seek after merely material needs. And Peter says, probably clearest of all, that we are to keep our conduct as Christians among the Gentiles honorable, by which he does not mean Greek-descended Christians, but those outside the church. The opposite side of the coin is that the term Israel can and is legitimately used by Paul to refer to the church, not those of ethnic and religious Jewish heritage. So this heuristic is especially helpful in reading the Psalms profitably. And because the dividing lines are simply different now. Christ has come to save the world. That makes every bit of difference. Soon Christ will come to judge the world, which makes every bit of difference. He himself is both the standard by which men are judged and acquitted, and he is the stumbling block by which they fall, or the solid cornerstone on which their houses endure. Those who have learned Christ are enlightened by him. As the Christmas Day Gospel says, the true light comes into the world that he created. The oracles of God were not only given by Moses, veiled as they were because of his mediating role, but the Word of God has now come in the flesh, fulfilling those oracles which he himself spoke of old, and now speaking with his own voice in our midst as the singular mediator between God and man. Jesus is the light to enlighten the Gentiles, and he is at the very same time the glory of his people Israel, which makes that seemingly concrete distinction of Jew and Gentile of very little value now. In Christ, each are called to a new generation and a new way. Now today, Paul addresses Christians like us, and just before and after this text, he clarifies that the church is one, Jews and Gentiles no longer being hostile and divided groups, but one new man in Christ, created in him. No one is to walk as the Gentiles do, meaning this defining and lamentable feature of all those outside the church. Their minds are futile, he says. Our hymn has just captured this futility with great art. To say what Paul does, that the unbelieving world is alienated from the life of God. And as our psalm says, ask where is God in the first place? And because of this, they become callous due to the hardness of their hearts, callous in all of their actions toward other people. You see it. You know it. Now, I love the descriptions far better than I love the labels, but it means we're talking about nihilism, hedonism. And no one worships at any church of nihilism except in silly movies, but that doesn't mean there aren't plenty of adherents, people who have no God and have no hope and believe in nothing and are aimlessly floating through life. Now, the sun is still shining, but men no longer make spires so that when the clouds move away, its light is put to beautiful use and we can see the wonderful things that God has made and see the testimony to Him. Instead, they build with ugly efficiency for right now only, for today. Housing themselves beneath even uglier panels with which they power their brokenness and their aimlessness and their sensuality. It isn't really rain that makes our latter days gray with the dark despair of this age, nor is it pollution that most poisons our air so much as it is the futility of sinful human minds. And though we, Christians, know better, we do not always act like it. We do not speak like it. We do not even always think like it. And so Paul wants us to think, what is the value of knowing it if it never affects thoughts or words or deeds? Now, thankfully, the answer is not to find some new way. Thankfully, the answer is not to make friendly with the great nothing or to empathize with its dark despair. None of that is how you learned Christ, Paul says. And how comforting that he believes you and I have learned Christ and therefore have some hope. The way you learned Christ was good. Don't throw it away. If you learned Christ as, say, Abraham did on the mountain, then you would return home from the mountain, you and your children, with so much promise. If you learned Christ like Israel did, wrestling and grasping for those promises, then you would watch the sun rise on a confident new day, because your Lord now wrestles for you. He's given you a new name, bearing his own name to prove it. And if you learn Christ like Luther did, the word would hurl life triumphant everywhere you go, and it would lead you to be zealous for the life of man through the death of God. And I do not mean if, I mean since. You have learned Christ. Therefore, return to him and his ways and his mind. The Holy Spirit restores us by the testimony of Christ. He is always at work to bring to remembrance Christ's promises and his ways and his thoughts. The Spirit enlightens us also. He does this by calling us back to what we have learned and what we have received from God's Word. Grace and truth far surpassing Moses, and life that is truly eternal. And that's good news, for real. Christ is not only the dividing line, he is the reorientation of Jews and Gentiles into one church and more. He is the triumphant Lord of all of us. He is the one who storms the gates of hell to rescue his own. Or in our case, we should say and believe and tell others that he is the one who breaks down the door to dingy basements. The one who frees people who are chained to sad couches, unable to get up and do something better. He is the one who gives light to those even who know only noisome fluorescence. But above all, he is the Lord who refreshes the mind and the heart, and most importantly, the soul, so that it is saved, so that we are no longer futile, but we are fruitful in hope. For we are the ones who expect the resurrection of the dead. And such is the right mind that you have, dear saints, something desperately needed in our world, which is the mind of Christ Jesus, your Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.